So it turns out that nobody trusts or likes the news.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, contain your surprise. But Reuters actually have a digital news report that I thought we'd go through just to see what the public attitude towards the way the news operates. Mm-hmm. And we're probably just as guilty of this as anyone else. But before we begin, if you'd like to support us, you can go to thelowcc.com and listen to our hangout about what a sentient or purportedly sentient AI is like and what its opinions of itself and the world around us and humanity itself are.
Yeah, really fun discussion, actually.
It was much better than reading the news, I've got to tell you that. More lifelike, too, incidentally. But anyway, so let's start with the Reuters Institute's digital news report. Now, they compiled this using a YouGov survey, so I'm immediately skeptical, of 93,000 online news consumers in 46 markets covering half the world's population.
So what do 72% of them think this time?
they think the news sucks.
Interesting.
So the as they say, the report documents the way in which the connection between journalism and the public may be fraying, as if we didn't know that already, including a fall in trust following last year's positive bump. So there was obviously, when there's a catastrophe, people... Mm-hmm. Or, you know, something that is purported to be a catastrophe.
Yeah.
People turn to the news to find out what's going on, as you might imagine. And during the COVID pandemic, trust in news increased because people felt they were being told the truth.
Really? That's very interesting.
Really? But if that's your only source of information on the subject, then maybe you would think that.
Mm.
Anyway, from the executive summary, they give us some very interesting things. So the media, of course, benefited from the pandemic. They say that last year's report contains some positive signs for the news industry, with higher consumption and rising trust amid a second wave of coronavirus lockdowns. That's a worry, isn't it?
Goodness me. Well, that was only because they clamped down on all dissenting views.
Yes. Yes, they did.
And still do so. There are certain things we can't talk about.
Yes. Yes, it's remarkable, isn't it? If people don't know that there's an alternative narrative to what's happening, they believe what they're being told.
It's almost like the Pravda narrative, isn't it? If there's only one narrative, then you can't distrust it.
It is remarkably North Korean.
Wow.
But also, it speaks to a series of demented incentives that the media have. Mm-hmm. Where do they gain the most trust, respect, and clicks from? Catastrophe. Tragedy and persuading the entire world that they are under siege.
If it bleeds, it leads.
But it's worse than that. Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, there was a shooting on, you know, Fifth Avenue or something, which would be, you know, an important story 20 years ago. No, this is the entire world. This is your entire country. And every country in the world is gripped by a pandemic. And suddenly the media is like, well, this is very profitable for us. This makes us look good. Rather concerning, I would say.
Well, that also doesn't mention the fact that I believe actual direct funding of the media by governments dramatically increased because they took out tons of advertising on mainstream news sources, which is essentially a way of co-opting the media and buying them off.
Yeah, this report not sponsored by Pfizer,
sadly.
Unusually.
I mean...
It is sponsored by you, though, so thank you for supporting us. But they say, on average, around 4 in 10 of our total sample, 42%, say they trust most news most of the time. So most people don't trust most of the news most of the time. That's a damning indictment, isn't it? Mm. Finland apparently remains the country with the highest levels of overall trust at 69%, while the United States of America is the lowest at 26%.
Wow.
1 in 4 Americans trust the media. And they all vote Democrat. I'm not even joking, actually. We
multiple
will actually...
times, potentially. They're just again, that much in favour of them.
Over succeeding years in elections, YouTube.
Of course. That's exactly what I meant to imply.
So they say that the thing that's, I think, remarkable about this, though, because I'm sure it's we don't have to spend any time explaining, that if you go back and watch news, I watched a bunch of news clips from the early 2000s, after 9/11, in fact, while it was occurring. And one thing that I was shocked by was how boring it was. The news was so boring. Even in the middle of the greatest catastrophe the Americans have ever faced, the news was boring. Mm-hmm. I was just, dying watching it. And this is interesting because, of course, if you compare it to now, the news is very flashy.
Yep.
Very high pressured. Mm-hmm. Everything's a conflict of some sort and everyone's about to lose something. It's all going terribly wrong. And so it's very much designed to gain your engagement, obviously. And it seems that we've reached a kind of saturation point in this, where people are just like, you know what, I'm just sick of the news. It turns out that interest in news has fallen sharply across all markets. In 2017, it was 63% of people were interested in the news. And now, on average, it's 51%.
Wow.
Because people are just avoiding the bad news. They're tired of being told, oh, the world is collapsing around you. And they can just go outside, touch some grass, and find that actually, no, things seem okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get on with my life. And the proportion of people who say they actively avoid the news, as in not just I'm not interested in it, now I'm going to deliberately stay away from it, has, of course, like massively spiked.
Well, part of that is the rise in the narrative, which is entirely true as far as I can ascertain, that one of the factors, which is a risk factor for mental health problems, is watching the news.
Yes, indeed. We'll get to that if you don't mind.
Oh, sorry,
we'll
put a bit in that.
It's all right. You were absolutely right, though. In fact, they say this selective avoidance has doubled in both Brazil and the United Kingdom to 54% in Brazil and 46% in the UK. So half the people in this country are basically actively avoiding the news. And they say because it has a negative effect on their mood.
Yeah.
It actually is making them depressed to watch the fear-mongering news. Again, we're probably just as guilty of this. And a significant proportion of younger and less educated people say they avoid the news because they can't really understand it and it's hard to follow, which means the media is not doing a very good job of simplifying complex stories. There are other things like the number of people who are willing to pay for online news has leveled off. So it seems that the, you know, remember CNN Plus dying on its ass? Well, it turns out that wasn't a giant market for people who are going to pay for news that they were trying to expand into. That doesn't exist, that market, turns out. Turns out most people are actually moving into the I just hate the news perspective. And so you've got this particular problem where, I mean, it's basically people getting their news from social media, as you might expect. Older people go to Facebook, younger generations go to other platforms. TikTok, weirdly, is one of the fastest growing networks for news, with 40% of 18 to 24s saying that they use it, and 15% of them saying they use the platform for news, which is bigger than you'd expect. But anyway, so TV journalists are still the most well known, but it is an increasing percentage of people who are getting their news via their smartphones, which, again, nothing new there. But I thought we'd go down. If you can scroll down in this, you can see some graphs that are fascinating. If you go down a little bit more, they're quite far down. There we go. Right. So you can see that the proportion who are using news sources, which, you know, okay, fair enough. The print media is obviously dying on its arse, and you know, but you can see there's just a general sort of lack of interest from when Trump was in charge overall. But if you can scroll down to the next one, the one after this, there's a series of sort of small graphs. There we go. Right. This is really interesting. So you can see here, they've got massive slumps in news, massive. But if you go down to the UK and the USA one, these are, I think, most interesting. Because in 2015, 70% of people were interested in the news. And in 2022, 43%.
Wow.
You lose literally half your audience.
And it's worldwide as well. Places like Brazil aren't. This isn't going to be because there was an attention spike to do with Brexit in 2015 and 2016. Exactly. I don't think the Brazilians really care about Brexit.
Exactly. And it's exactly the same in the United States. Where it's, you know, massive, massive slumps in audience share because people are just like, no, I'm just not watching this. This hyper-competitive, hyper-aggressive form of messaging that is literally, as they say, making me feel upset with the world.
Now, you could argue that social media is also making them feel upset with the world, but it's just doing it in a more engaging and addictive manner, so they're moving to that competitor instead.
Yes, but it's specifically about the topic rather than the medium.
Right.
Because they're staying on social media. They're just watching videos of cats playing with puppies and things like this.
A lot better for your mental health than watching the BBC.
I can only imagine you come away with a much more placid feeling about the world. So anyway, if we can scroll down to the next one, then you can see... these are just the ones where they're not leveling off.
Which is interesting in itself.
Yeah,
places like Switzerland, you know.
And Finland, places that aren't in the eye of the storm. But as you can see here, the people who are just actively avoiding the news, you see the purple graph is in 2022, the number is just rapidly increasing.
Gosh.
So the saturation of this is just mad. Like, you know, people in Brazil must be getting a hell of a time from their news media. But again, like you look at Japan, where almost nobody cares about it either way, basically, which I think is interesting. So they've asked people, so why are you avoiding the news? And 43% say too much politics and COVID.
Yeah.
It's just highly partisan, highly just polarized media and browbeating me about a disease that in many countries just doesn't seem to be something in the public consciousness anymore. 36% said it has an effect on their mood. And again, these are the people who are avoiding the news particularly. 29% said they're just worn out by the amount of news.
Yeah.
In the 24-hour news cycle, it's just constantly there.
There is a lot of stuff happening as well. We live in interesting times, as the Chinese curse has it.
Unfortunately so. 29% say it's untrustworthy or biased. Most of those are Republicans, incidentally. 17% say it leads to avoidable arguments. And then 16% say it's basically irrelevant. There's nothing they can do about it anyway.
But that is a really interesting penultimate point. Watching the news leads to avoidable arguments.
Yeah.
There's a hell of a lot contained in that statement.
Yeah. You don't have to have a political conflict over Donald Trump at the dinner table.
Yeah.
You can talk about your day. You can talk about how school or work was.
You can talk about local things, local problems, local opportunities, not global problems, not, okay, how does this meal that mum has cooked for me solve climate change today?
Are we going to watch the new whatever series after dinner? I wonder what's going to happen. It'll be very exciting. Just normal human things.
Yeah.
Rather than discussing, like, as you say, you know, avoidable arguments. And when broken down, the proportion who avoid it by political leaning, roughly equal on the left and the right, say it brings down the mood. But right-wingers say it's much too much politics and COVID. Mm-hmm. And also the right-wing are the ones who say it's overwhelmingly biased and untrustworthy, which I just think is very interesting. The under 35 seem to have a problem understanding what's being said, which again I find interesting.
Really?
It's just one of those things. Under 35s, they're the group who most register not really understanding what's going on.
But I mean, again, that seems like a very vague statement. What is it that they don't understand? Is it a linguistic or literacy problem?
It seems to be a comprehension problem because the problems are quite complex, but it's not really very well explained.
And the most university-educated generation in history can't understand it. That's very strange, anyway.
But it is worldwide, remember. So
yes,
we could be talking about
that's true.
People who actually don't have university educations. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so just I thought we'd finish this by just talking about the proportion of British people that trust the BBC. Because they have a segment on this.
Okay.
Trust in BBC News has fallen 20 percentage points in the last 5 years, from 75% to 55%. Equally telling is the proportion who say that they distrust the BBC, which has grown from 11% to 26%. The majority of these are, of course, from the political right, echoing criticism from Boris Johnson's government about an alleged anti-Brexit and liberal bias.
Alleged, guys.
Yeah, alleged anti-Brexit bias from the BBC and liberal bias. But we also find that there's low trust in the BBC also comes from those who are less interested in news altogether. So people who aren't even interested in the news, I don't really trust the BBC. Mm. That's interesting, isn't it? And it's important to note that other brands in the UK, such as The Guardian and The Mail, have also been affected by growing levels of distrust, though not as severely. So the BBC had a sterling reputation, a massive audience share, and because it seems of Brexit and the general left-wing drift of the institution...
Going woke, yeah.
Yes, they seem to have been basically ruining this.
Yeah, so they basically adopted a political ideology which is anathema to all of their viewers who now don't trust them.
Yes, we covered this in a previous podcast, where it's about 8% of the country who are progressive activists, and that's who they're pandering to. And within only a couple of years, this has knocked off 20% of their trustworthiness. And I can only imagine it's going to get worse.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the live hangouts we do sometimes. This one on Mega City 1 is not an aspirational future. And if you want to follow what else Carl is putting out, you can follow him on Getter at @CarlBenjamin on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.